This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
News about accessible opera and ballet now here on RNIB Connect Radio, as following on from the performances in February at the Royal Opera House in London of the immersive accessible dance performance Dark with Excessive Bright, which had recorded descriptive audio by Devon Healy, as well as the recorded audio introductions that they have been offering for a number of years now. In a first for Opera AD at the Royal Opera House, there will be recorded audio descriptions available at all of the upcoming performances in July of Tosca, with touch tours available prior to two of the performances too. I'm delighted to say that I'm now not only joined by audio describer Alice Gilmore, who worked on the recorded audio description for Tosca, but also by Paul Adams, who is the Access Project Manager at the Royal Opera House, to tell me more about the recorded descriptions for Tosca. Welcome to RNIB Connect Radio, Alice and Paul.
Thanks, Toby.
Hey, Toby.
Firstly, Paul, as I mentioned in my introduction, the Royal Opera House have been offering recorded audio introductions for a number of years. And was it following on from Devon's immersive descriptive audio for Dark with Excessive Bright that you thought now would be a good time to offer live and recorded descriptions for blind and partially sighted people at the Royal Opera House?
Yeah, thank you, Toby. Yeah, I think what's probably good is to put some context around the kind of, I suppose, journey that we're on at the moment. My position with the Royal Opera House is to really look at how we're enhancing accessibility across many domains. And you're absolutely right to reference Dark with Excessive Bright, which was a really kind of, I suppose, in some ways, a bit of a leap in terms of trying to be integrated with audio description throughout the creative process. And then at the same time, yes, for over 10 years, having audio introductions available for mostly the main house productions, but also within the Limbury as well. And so we're at a point where we're just trying to, I suppose, get very consistent with this offer, making sure that it's not something that we come to maybe ad hoc or if and when, but we're considering audio description as something that should just be part and parcel of all the different types of programs and events that are happening across the Royal Opera House. So yeah, this next step into Tosca, working with Alice, as you mentioned, is about investigating the potential of pre-recorded audio description. But that's absolutely building us into next season, where we're offering, hopefully, quite a substantial uplift in live audio description, pre-recorded audio description, and the resources and touch tours that come with that. So, yeah, an exciting time of development happening at the Royal Opera House.
And how will it all work when blind and partially sighted people arrive at the Royal Opera House? Will they listen to the recorded audio description through the same sort of headsets that they would normally listen to the recorded introductions? And does it get triggered from somewhere? And how does it get played out? How will it all work?
Yeah, so last year we had an upgrade for our surtitling system, which is called Panvea, which is the suppliers of that system. And this was about kind of future-proofing our surtitling captioning kind of capabilities. But also that system was set up to not just send captions during performances, but actually it's got the ability to put in sound, video. It's got the ability to broadcast through Wi-Fi as well, as radio frequency kind of systems. So we have this system and this capability and this resource of our amazing surtitling team, which we're going to use then as kind of the vehicle for delivering the pre-recorded audio description. So Alice might be able to talk a little bit more to, you can use systems and softwares like QLab, whereas within our instance, we've got this kind of system that's primed and ready to kind of load and use straight away. So Alice is on a bit of a journey with Andrew Kingsmill, our surtitle manager, in programming that system to be able to fire the audio description with captions and sometimes without captions. So yeah, it's great to be able to push that system.
I suppose, Alice, as well as, I think you're a captioner as well, so you've obviously been using some of the technology that triggers the captioning, but this is something completely different for audio description.
Yes, it is, Toby. I've worked on triggering audio description before that's been pre-recorded, but I've never managed to link it to something else. So the whole beauty, I think, of linking it to the surtitles is it will be much more accurate. Because prior to that, I was sort of loading up like a whole scene or something that I'd pre-recorded, and then that would just play from the sort of downbeat of the first note of that scene. Now, having worked with Opera North, I know how amazingly close in timings opera performances are. It's incredible. You know, the conductor and all the performers have worked out what speed everything's going to go at. But tying it into the surtitles just makes so much sense to me, because then you've got one person operating it, and those pre-recorded files can be really accurately timed, hopefully, so that it's broadcast and it arrives in the person's ear, not over the most important bits of singing or not at the loudest points, just at the right points to hopefully give people enough information that they're able to enjoy the opera as fully as possible.
And Puccini's sweeping operatic thriller, Tosca, combines romance, revelation and a devastating twist too. Would you mind giving me and listeners a brief sort of summary of the story of Tosca for those who may not be so familiar with it?
Yeah, sure. Personally, I think, I know it sounds like I'm selling it, but I do think, to me, it's the best opera there is. It's quite a simple storyline, but it's incredibly powerful. And I would recommend that people don't try and find out what happens at the end, because when I first saw it, I didn't know. So I'll give you a bit of the first and second acts, but only halfway through the second act. So it's set in the 1800s. It's Napoleonic times. Italy's in a state of turmoil. So there's this big kind of political debate between the Republican revolutionaries who support Napoleon's goings on versus the more religious, conservative, monarchical powers. And it has two lovers. So a great painter who's painting a beautiful fresco in a church, Cavaradossi, is in love with Rome's most famous adored opera singer, Floria Tosca. And basically, there's a political prisoner who's escaped and he hides in the church, and Cavaradossi says, oh, I'll help you, you know, viva la Republic kind of thing. And then so he allows Angelotti to escape with him to his villa and says he'll hide in there. Now, Tosca is incredibly jealous and she thinks he maybe has a woman lover because she's heard voices and whisperings. And then the evil chief of police of Rome comes to the church because him and his men are looking for Angelotti. And one of his men finds a fan that's fallen on the floor. This fan was given to Angelotti as part of a disguise that his sister left for him in the chapel to disguise himself as a woman to escape. Anyway, Scarpia opens the fan and it's actually got the coat of arms of the Attavanti family. So he allows Tosca to discover this, and she's extremely jealous and thinks Cavaradossi is having an affair with the beautiful Marchesa Attavanti. So this sets up this whole thing. Now, Scarpia realises he can use this to his advantage. And so he sows the seeds of doubt with Tosca, then tells his men to follow Tosca. So she goes off to the villa to confront Cavaradossi, see if he's having an affair. And basically, the upshot is Scarpia is basically after Tosca himself, and his men, I suppose this does give it away slightly, but anyway, well, they do find Cavaradossi. But he uses Cavaradossi as leverage and says, OK, you're in love with Cavaradossi. I will release him. I won't send him to the gallows if you will give yourself to me. So she's left with this terrible choice. What do you do for love? You know, what would you do? And it's just so powerful. And that's only taking us to halfway. So I'll leave
maybe
it there.
Stop there.
Yeah.
And what is the look and feel of this production? How has it been set and what are the sort of costumes like?
Yeah, well, I'll have to put a small caveat in, Toby. I haven't seen it with my own eyes yet, but I can't wait to be down there. I'm coming down and I'm watching several rehearsals next week. So I've seen two different videos. I know it's been around for many years and it's quite a traditional sort of Baroque, fabulous looking production. Jonathan Kent, I think it was first produced in 2006, but it's so popular and it's quite simple, but lavish. And everything's very huge, which I think is amazing, that it takes up the fantastically huge space that is the Royal Opera House stage. So there's a couple of, well, there's one major huge statue in Scarpia's apartment. There are very tall, long windows at the sides with shutters on them, lots of books. It's quite dimly lit. There's lots of candlelight. It can be quite hard to make things out. So hopefully for people who have some sight, you know, they may still require that extra help with the audio description. And costumes, yes, Tosca wears beautiful sort of empire line gowns, silver and a sort of tiara style thing in her hair. And Scarpia has a silk brocade longish coat, waistcoat. Cavaradossi has a paint spattered white shirt, waistcoat, cream trousers. it's simple, it's dramatic, it's on a huge scale, but yet quite intimate. The second act is incredibly intimate. For a lot of the second act, you've just got Tosca and Scarpia with this kind of verbal jousting, and the music tells the whole story. So it's vital for me that I'm not going to be giving audio description that gets in the way of the music, because it's really sowing these seeds of dread and building the tension incredibly well.
And would you say your approach to the description script is different for the recording compared to a live described performance?
Well, it's interesting. What I'm doing is doing it as if I was doing it live. And then when I tie it to the surtitles, I have to be a little bit conscious that there might be some moments, especially after a specific aria, where there could be applause. So I won't have a long bit of audio there that, you know, may alter in time frame. So I'll have points at which where there isn't actually a surtitle to press, but the surtitler will press a button to launch the next bit of audio description. But the answer is no, I would keep it very much the same as I would do it live. One of the key things for me anyway in audio describing opera is that when it's sung in another language, you have to be able to give the story. You have to let people know what they're singing about. But you don't want to talk over the singing. So I very much always leave my bits of information right at the end of a phrase. So there'll be a sort of long note as they've said what they're going to say. And then I'm quickly in a fairly just low voice, quick voice, just saying what they just said so that the customer knows exactly what's going on. But no, keeping it very much the same.
There'll be two touch tours prior to the performances on Tuesday the 16th and Friday the 19th of July at 6:30 p.m., where people have the chance to go onto the stage, explore the set and costumes. Will your sort of approach to those touch tours be slightly different or adapted because it's for a recorded audio described performance?
Well, I'm definitely going to be there for the first one anyway, so it would be exactly as how I would do it. As if I was then talking later, it'll just be that my voice is pre-recorded. So I'll be there on hand to answer all the questions. But the great thing is, as Paul has said, I will then be working very closely with the stage management team and the in-house team, and they'll run the second one very much based on what we've done on the first one. So yes, it'll just be finding the dimensions of the stage, you know, touching the most useful and prominent props that really tell the story and set the scene. So no, much the same as any touch tour would run.
For the upcoming season at the Royal Opera House, there will be both live and recorded audio descriptions for opera and ballet. Would you mind just giving me a brief sort of, I suppose, hint of what might be coming up in the new season with audio description?
Yeah, of course. It's really exciting that we're trying to lay out this ahead of time, which is something we've not been able to do previously. So in the Limbury, there'll be Mad Hatter's Tea Party, which is a collaboration with Zoo Nation, which is a really energetic dance piece. But then also coming into the main stage, we've got Traviata, we've got Alice Adventures in Wonderland, we've got another piece in the Limbury Rue Nation, and including also Cinderella, the ballet, later in the year as well. So this information is available on our website now, and booking is slowly opening for customers to get in there and start to look at what might they want to get along and have a look at.
And I suppose the best place for listeners to find out more about the recorded audio description for Tosca, which will be available at performances throughout July, along with the two touch tours on both Tuesday the 16th and Friday the 19th of July at 6:30 p.m., would be to go to the Royal Opera House website. Would that be the best place to go, Paul?
Absolutely. And also welcome to make contact with us at the box office, which numbers available online. What we have for this run of Tosca is we've allocated some stalls, orchestra stall seating as well, a £30 ticket price, so that service users that want to make use of the audio description and enjoy the opera can have seats that are in good locations for kind of being close to the stage. So contact the box office if you'd like to get those £30 tickets, which is fantastic. So you can go to the website. It's www.roh.org.uk.
Well, thank you so much, Alice and Paul, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio about the recorded audio description for Tosca and more description at the Royal Opera House too. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Toby.
Great. Thank you, Toby.